right now. Very excited to kick off a brand new segment on the show. It's time for Message in the Bottle, our chance to learn more about wine, and we're going to be doing it every Tuesday afternoon at this time, and we're joined in studio by Eric Meehan of Bangor Wine and Cheese, who's not only here, but that's him playing in the background, too.
That's
welcome.
Me. That's me, yeah. Hi.
Hi, welcome, man. You were not in Destiny's Child.
Well, briefly. I'm contractually obliged to say no, I was not. I was not.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Beyonce
sorry,
is tough. Do LaToya. Not mess with her. Yeah.
I'm telling you. That's a bad enemy to have. I should know.
Well, so tell us what we're going to be doing in this segment over the weeks, months, and hopefully years ahead.
Yeah. The course of my career, I've really come to embrace the aspect of really trying to teach people a little bit more, just a little bit more, about what it is that they're consuming, both for food. When I used to work for a large corporate health food store where you can spend a lot of money, that shall go unnamed.
What could that be?
and then I got into wine, beer, beverages, and sort of the melding of all those. And so my hope with this series is to pull away some of the curtains and let people into the world of wine. What it is that I fell in love with, which is really basic stuff. It's not, lofty, marble-hauled, mahogany nonsense. It's real, everyday enjoyment, little things that can make meals and a special time with friends, family a little bit better. And if you can do that, You're doing pretty well.
There you go. So what are we talking about this week?
So each month we're going to be talking. We have a message in the bottle is sort of an overarching theme that we have at both of our stores. We have monthly tastings. We have wine club, beer club. And we always try to sort of adhere to this theme just to give people a little more comprehensive view of what we're doing. So this month, because we just finished the holiday season and we all hopefully overspent at your local businesses downtown. So now this month, of course, we're all, trying to be a little more frugal. We know now that the cold spell has hit us, we've got some gas bills and things like that coming. So we're talking about enjoying wine on a budget and what that really means. And, of course, over the next series of weeks and months, we'll explore, what people like to drink, why they like to drink it. But really what we're going to talk about this month is the fact that the price of wine, just like the price of everything else, has gone up. Inflation is a real thing. And I remember growing up and knowing that, you needed $10,000 to $15,000 to buy a nice new family car.
Those were the days.
Right? But, of course, we are all earning less. The value, unfortunately, there was, a lot of, this ceiling of $10, for wine. And I want to sort of talk to people that $10 is no longer a sweet spot necessarily, just given the cost of transportation, given the cost of good fruit, given things like that, and just the lack of value necessarily now in the euro and the dollar where, we're getting most of these products from. So I want to talk to people really about a sort of a $12 to $16 sweet spot for a good bottle of wine. And that's pretty much from anywhere. But to get an even better bottle of wine, I'd like to talk to people about kind of going off the beaten path, going to regions that you haven't necessarily traveled to on a very expensive holiday, things like that. There's a lot of regions that have built up their name and subsequently their cost because of their tourism industry as well. So we're going to be talking about, over the next couple of weeks, a couple of bottles that I have in front of us right now. We're going to talk about a Moscato. Of course, Americans do love their sweet wines.
Yes.
But we're going to talk about a Moscato from a region called Pavia, which is a little lesser known and turning out some really delicious stuff. We're going to talk about a really nice Chardonnay alternative. A lot of people love Chardonnay, love bolder white wines, but this is from South Africa, which is a very nice white wine called The Curator, which is based on a grape called Chenin Blanc. And then we're also going to talk in the following week, which will be the 26th, about a Monastrell for all of you bold red wine fans. This is a wine from southern Spain that is I don't know why it hasn't caught on quite yet in America, but given that it's full of like raspberry and chocolate flavors, I don't know why it wouldn't. So we'll be talking about these things. And also, you know, of course, if folks out there have questions, gosh, I've always wanted to know this. There are no stupid questions. There's a lot of myths surrounding wine for health reasons, for you know, social reasons. You want to know what best to serve with whatever, you know, write in, call, whatever, and I'll do my best to answer.
Yeah, you can post those questions on our Facebook page, Downtown with Rich Kimble. You can send us an email to downtownwithrichkimble@gmail.com. Just put wine in the subject line and
that's right.
We'll know. We'll probably know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Now, Rich, I'd like to know why your voice sounds better now than mine did, because the other day I felt like we were having some sort of a voice off, and I feel like...
I wasn't on mic the other day. You were on mic,
okay.
And I was sitting off to
because
the side.
Because it's remarkable.
Plus, Stack in there, he has magic machines.
He's got like the voice garbler.
Yeah, it makes me sound so much more manly than I really am.
It's remarkable.
Yeah.
He's only 2 feet tall, yeah. Rich. You guys don't know that.
Yeah, I'm a midget.
No, it's amazing.
A little person. All that sound comes out of that little body. It's incredible.
No, actually, speaking of little body, you know. Little kids? How do little kids make that much sound? They make more sound than us combined.
Well, yeah, you've got two.
I've got two.
Under the age of four?
I've got a 5 and a 3.
A 5 and a 3, okay.
Yeah. So I became Bangor's number one dad, according to our friend Carrie Weston the other day. I acquired ticket 001 for the father-daughter dance.
Oh, yeah, you're there. You've won.
Oh, the look on her face. I'm done now.
We do a lot of this because our guy is going to be 2 on Thursday, and he's a prodigy because he hit the terrible 2s a little bit early.
That's wonderful.
Yeah,
that's nice.
And now we often look at each other and go, 1's a good number.
1 is a good number.
Mm-hmm.
Here's another thing, though. Speaking of kids and wine, that's another time when you might want to sip on any one of these delicious wines because they're all very, very good on their own. I don't know how much time we have or whatever. I shouldn't veer off onto my kids. I could talk about my kids all day. I also wanted to let people know that as we get into this, Americans are now the world's leading consumer of wine, right? So that means a lot of you out there are probably trying wine or have tried wine and think it's, you know, awful because you maybe had a warm white wine at your cousin's funeral or something like that. So I would invite you to start thinking about the wines that we're talking about. They're available at both of our stores, Bangor Wine and Cheese and Crossroads Beverage, which is in Newport, if that's closer to any of you in Radio Land. I did want to point that out.
Yeah, and the great thing, too, it's to me, it's like anything else. Great food, great wine, great beer. It's an adventure. Trying these new things and exploring parts of the world without leaving the comfort of your home.
Well, that's true. Yeah, I mean, it's one of those great ways. It's impossible to replicate some wonderful experiences, but it is possible to have a little piece of it every day. And the more you embrace, you know, drinking good wine, good beer, eating, you know, better quality foods. And that's what I, you know, when I first started to get into wine was when I used to be a singer, a classical singer. So I was singing in Italy, and I happened to notice that everybody was drinking just the local stuff, eating, you know, stuff that they'd get at a farmer's market, and making very, very simple but delicious foods. And I noticed that no one was fat. Everybody, you know, walked everywhere, ate good food, and wine was on the table like salt and pepper is here.
Mm.
And that's when I first start to understand that mindset of maybe this is better than drinking Pepsi, you know, 6 Pepsis a day and eating, you know, hamburgers like they're going out of style. Although I do still like a good burger. Right. I was raised on a cow farm, so, you know.
There you go.
Loyalty.
Now, are you going to tell us more about any of these this week, or do we save those for next week?
Well, I was going to actually do one per week. We're going to explore a little bit more about the region, the bottle, the wine itself, but I did want to, you know, every at the start of every month, I was going to give a little primer as to what we were going to go into. That was my thought.
Okay.
But
are you going to pick one this week or we wait till next week?
What, we can start now.
Sure.
We'll start now. Let's talk about Moscato.
So, I love it.
One of the other things is that there's a saying in the industry, and this is the truth, that Americans talk dry but drink sweet. And that kind of goes back to that Pepsi thing, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
I really did. I'm a guy who definitely was drinking, you know, 6 Pepsis a day at age 23. And I understand that the entryway to a lot of wine drinkers is sweeter wines. When I was in college, I was in upstate New York, and there's a Bully Hill Winery, which basically makes, you know, a lot of sweet wines. And so I went through college, as I say, on Love My Goat Red, which was a chillable sweet red. But, you know, I found it to be more palatable than Michelob or, you know, some other stuff that people were drinking. You know, the craft beer boom had only, you know, the faint whispers. You started to see, like, Sierra Nevada Pale Ale. Or mm-hmm. I went to school near Utica, New York, so my singing group sang for the, you know, FX Matt Saranac winter parties. So we got paid in beer, which was, at the time, like, the greatest thing we'd ever had.
Absolutely.
It takes a lot of so a lot of people are drinking these sweet wines, and so a lot of folks come in, oh yeah, you know, my wife or my girlfriend so and so really likes this Moscato, and back you'll remember in the 80s there was this dawn of Asti Spumante, right?
Yes.
So that was a riffing on the town of Asti, which is in Piedmont, Italy, which is known for wines like Barolo and Barbera. And so the town of Asti makes really, really wonderful Moscato, and that is the Moscato these days that you're going to pay more for. It's a premium Moscato, not necessarily Asti Spumante, which is still sort of a mass-produced product, but individual grower Moscatos from this region are really a little more sought after. So this is from a region called Pavia. Pavia is a little farther west. It's in a region, again, where they're doing a lot more mass-produced wines on the whole, but there's still some families that actually have old vines, and I should mention that old vines are somewhat more desirable because they produce more concentrated fruit. And so you have here, this is a Centauri. It's a lovely orange label, and as I said, they are available at both stores. But this is a wine that sells for, as I was saying, $12.99, so right in that sweet spot of between $12 and $16. Wonderful tropical orange rind aromas, sweet, no bitterness to it whatsoever, bubbly but sort of frothy, you know. Tremendously enjoyable on its own. I do know that there's some people who like to drink it all through dinner, but this is a way where you can drink a sweet wine, but it's a real quality wine. It's not added sugar, things like that, because people should know that there's a lot of produced sweet wines. Mm. Things where they call it chaptalization, that's adding sugar just to achieve a certain level of sweetness. Those are the wines that frankly give you headaches a lot more easily than a wine like this. And I think that's, you know, if you're going to start to get into wine, especially along the sweet side, people should know that you're allowed to put a lot more preservatives in sweet wines just legally. And that's the sort of thing where people end up saying, well, I don't like wine. Why? It gives me a headache. Why? Well, I drank a $6 bottle of wine.
There you go.
That will give you a headache.
Excellent. Well, we appreciate it. We're looking forward to learning more every week about wine. Eric, thank you so much for coming in. We'll see you next week.
Thank you, Rich.
Eric Meehan, Message in the Bottle, brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese, 86 Hammond Street in Bangor, right between Massimo's and Philhead Restaurant, and Crossroads Beverage Company, 66 Main Street in Newport, right behind the Rite Aid, just off the Moosehead Trail.